Brett Hollander back with you here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Let's bring on now our handicapper, horse racing expert Peter Laurie. Peter, are you there, buddy?
I can hear you. Yes, we have finally hit pay dirt.
Well, you've never sounded better to me, let me tell you that. Peter,
thank you. How
impressive was that win for American Pharoah on Saturday? Because to me, in all my Preaknesses, that may have been the most impressive.
Yeah, it was, and I'm going to take absolutely nothing away from him. But unfortunately, when that torrential rain hit the way he did, I knew whoever made the lead the first turn was probably going to win. And Victor Espinosa even said it in the interview afterwards. The minute that rain started flying down the way it was, he knew that was the only way he was going to win that race. And he was impressive. He was extremely impressive. And, you know, it's great for the sport. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's good enough to get the Triple Crown.
Well, I want to ask you that coming up in a moment here, but going back to what Victor Espinosa did to kind of readjust your strategy on the fly. Now, I know he may have expected, anticipated rain all day, but to have that happen and to change course, break that down for me from a jockey's perspective and how many jockeys you talked to over the years to kind of, from the rail of all places, to say, here's what I'm going to do, and I have to do this now to win this race.
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I've been an owner for almost 25 years and been through a lot of off tracks, and I had a horse called Frank the Barber who came out to Maryland who was an absolute mud-loving freak. The riders will tell you it's a completely different race because unlike American Pharoah, most of those horses had never seen an off track, let alone the off track they got. So there were a lot of question marks. Gary Stevens made it quite clear with Firing Line. He broke like a shot, two steps into it. He almost went down because of the condition. It was just a freak occurrence. And when the mud started hitting him in the face, he wanted no part of that track. And Gary Stevens, being the class and the consummate pro, realized there's another day and there was no point in getting this horse involved in a race like that. American Pharoah had been on off track before. Absolutely loved it. Glided over that track. It was interesting because going around the turn, as they hit the far turn, and you saw Dortmund, you saw Mr. Z starting to make a move on him, there were a lot of people, I for one, who thought, oh, he's going to pack it in. Look at this. But he found another gear, and he blew them off their feet.
Now, his speed numbers, Peter, going back to Saturday, did they hold up to a dry, firm, fast track?
No. The time of the race extremely fast, but when a track is that sloppy, it can play very fast. But as far as the overall time was, it wasn't even close to being one of the best record times for the Preakness. It wasn't even close to that. With that being said, again, American Pharoah has been a very special horse since he was a two-year-old. Bob Baffert, unlike several who have gone to this point and gotten to the Belmont, knows exactly what to do. Now, granted, he has not won either. He had not one, but two horses who got infamy stolen from them in the final strides. And, of course, we're talking about Real Quiet, one of my favorites of all time, Silver Charm.
Yeah.
It shows you how difficult, not only the negotiating of the mile and a half, it's not only the negotiating of a track like that. Let's not forget, it's a mile and a half track, very wide turns, very long turns. You really have to be a special horse to do this. That's why we haven't seen it since Affirmed. But, again, with it all being said, Bob Baffert, if there's anybody who can get this horse, get the Belmont, it's going to be him. With that being said, there are going to be a couple of new shooters, not horses that haven't done anything. They've been right there, and the difference is they're fresh. And I'm talking about Todd Pletcher and Kieran McLaughlin. They've got some horses that have been there, are fresh, and I'm sure are not going to hand this to American Pharoah.
And Todd Pletcher's been playing this for weeks, has he not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The smart trainers realize that when your horse takes his swing and for whatever reason doesn't get the job done, if you really want to see what he can do, bringing him back in 2 weeks is probably not the best idea. And I think that was the case with horses like Materiality. He realized, and Frosted, that you're not gaining anything by putting these horses in the Preakness. If anything, you're taking a chance on what might go on for the whole summer. And when you're in a barn like Todd Fletcher, you're obviously thinking about the Fall Classic, and that's the Travers Stakes. So there's a lot. Once you haven't won the Derby, and this is my opinion, and I think several share it, now all of a sudden the Preakness doesn't become so important because you've got a lot more great three-year-old races coming up. And let's not forget, the one that everybody was taking a swing at last year with the three-year-olds might do it again. That, of course, is the Breeders' Cup, which this year will be a two-year-old.
Peter Lorre is joining us on WBAL News Radio 1090. And, Peter, you talked about the fresh shooters. You talked about those who skip the Preakness and go right to New York and wait there for the Preakness winner, and in this case, the Derby and Preakness winner. We got into this discussion a lot last year in the aftermath of California Chrome's defeat in the Belmont Stakes. It's not a fair and level and even playing field. There are the rules. Todd Pletcher isn't breaking any. I would like for everyone to shoot in the Belmont to have at least shot in Baltimore. I just don't think it's fair. I'm not desperate for a Triple Crown winner. I just want a level playing field.
Well, you know what? That's a fair statement. I'm going to say I disagree, only because everyone knows going into it, and there will be those who take the argument and say, well, so what you're telling me is in order to beat the Belmont, I have to take a chance on hurting my horse in the Preakness?
Right.
He is not ready? That's going to be that argument right off the bat. There's also the argument that says, listen, I paid my money in advance to be eligible for these Triple Crowns. So if I choose not to be in the Preakness, who is to say if fair or not fair? That's horse racing. Again, getting back to the point of the Triple Crown itself, that is why the Triple Crown is so elusive, why it is so coveted, and why we haven't seen one since 1978.
And I'm okay with that. I fall in the camp that we don't need a Triple Crown. I like the fact that it's fairly common that we have a horse that wins the first two legs. I think that's very important to go to New York with a shot at least every once in a while. But if it were common and if it was happening regularly, it would be boring. It's special because it's so rare. Now, I was on the air on Saturday from Pimlico, and a colleague of mine, his point was, I agree with you in principle, but the world needs to know every once in a while that it's still possible. We can't go generations without one where it's so off the mind that and people start doubting that it's even possible. So I fall somewhere in the middle there. I think that's a fair point. But to me, I like the fact that it's the most insane and ridiculous challenge in modern day professional sports, it seems.
Well, and I agree with you there. And I was talking to your producer, prior to coming on, and that point was brought up in a way of using an analogy with baseball, and he brought up the point. He said, well, you know, but then do the records count if they decide to move the outfield in to accommodate a particular ball player? And my opinion, they shouldn't count. I believe that these records are records for a reason. It's not because if you start doing that, which, come on, we've done over the years in a lot of sports. Hey, it's getting boring. Let's make the ball different. Let's make it tighter.
Right. Let's raise the mound, lower the mound.
You know, Camden Yards. Hey, let's make it a smaller park because it'll make it look like it's fuller. You know, I mean, I'm not insulting Camden. It's in a wonderful, wonderful park. I've been there and I absolutely love it. But that is a fact. It's not a guess. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's all about a business. It's all about how much money can we get involved? How much money can we get for people to spend for these designated sports?
I really do appreciate it. We'll obviously be touching back with you in the coming weeks, and I can't wait for June 6th.
And by the way, I will be at Indiana Grand for anybody who's coming out. Indiana Grand for a special Belmont party. be handicapping the night before. We're going to have ourselves a great time.
Excellent. We'll talk to Peter Lorre in the coming weeks here on WBAL News Radio 1090.